Stars moved through the tangle, their motion like pebbles skipping waves as they swung from line to line. An hour passed and I readjusted my position dozens of times, never finding one that was comfortable for more than a few minutes before cramps began to set in. I'd take out the gun and sight along it, and I allowed myself the luxury of wasting a slug, shooting at the side of the building across from me, anticipating the recoil and getting a feel for the weapon's accuracy or lack thereof. No one disturbed me, and I doubt that there was anyone close enough to hear the gun's high-pitched shots. Finally, however, they came. Chapter 26. I watched the car drop down two or three blocks away, sleek and black as polished coal, with five telescopic arms retracting on the roof. The side door cracked open and four people spilled out of it, cradling weapons which made my own little gun look like a bad joke. Zebra had told me there was a hunt going down tonight, though that was nothing unusual. Hunts were the norm rather than the exception, but she had also, after considerable persuasion, revealed the likely site for the bloody revelry. There was a lot riding on it, the failure to kill me having ruined a perfectly good night's entertainment for the paying voyeurs who followed each chase. "I'll tell you where it is," she had said, "only on the grounds that you use that information to keep away from it. Is that understood? I saved you once, Tana Mirabel, but then you betrayed my trust. That hurt. It doesn't particularly dispose me towards helping you a second time." "You know what I'll do with that information, Zebra." "Yes, I suppose I do. At least you haven't lied to me, I'll give you that. You really are a man of your word, aren't you?" "I'm not all that you think I am, Zebra." I felt I owed her that, if she had not already worked that part out for herself. She had told me the sector that had been cleared for the chase. The subject, she said, had already been acquired and equipped with an implant. Sometimes they made several raids on a given night, and kept the victims asleep until a gaming slot arose. "Does anyone ever escape, Zebra?" "You did, Tanner." "No, I mean really escape, without being helped by the Sabs. Does that happen?" "Sometimes," she said. "Sometimes, maybe more often than you'd think. Not because the hunted manage to outwit the chasers, but because the organizers occasionally allow it. Otherwise it would get boring, wouldn't it?" "Boring?" "There'd be no element of chance. The canopy would always win." "That certainly wouldn't do," I said. I watched them creep through the rain now, guns swept ahead of them, their masked faces darting from side to side, examining every nook and cranny. The target must have been dropped in this zone a few minutes before, quietly, perhaps not even fully awake, like the naked man in the white-walled room, slowly coming to his senses to realize that he was sharing his confines with something unspeakable. There were two women and two men, and as they came closer I saw that their masks were a combination of theatrical decoration and practicality. The two women both wore cat masks, long tapering feline eyelets packed with specialized lenses. Their gloves were clawed, and when their black high-backed cloaks parted, I saw that their clothes were patterned in tiger stripes and leopard spots. Then I realized that they were not clothes at all, but furred synthetic skin, and that those clawed gloves were not gloves but unsheathed hands. One of the women grinned, flashing jeweled fangs, sharing a cruel joke with her friends. The men were not so ostentatiously transformed, their animal personae derived solely from their costumes. The nearest man had a bear's head, his own face peering from under the bear's upper jaw. His companion's face sported two ugly